The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do. And start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Episode 398. Is episode 210, Frugal Zero Waste Living.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast. My name is Jen.
My name is Jill.
And we are replaying one of our favorite episodes today about frugal zero waste living. I loved this one.
This one set a bit of a trajectory for me, I think. And I believe that I talk about living in an RV and how that helped me kind of get more in touch with my consumption and waste. But especially having this conversation solidified for me some of the ways that I can be more intentional about my consumption and then what I end up throwing out and how I'm engaging with those things and just kind of principles along the way. So I'm really glad we're revisiting it.
Yeah, the five R's really, like, I use those first two R's now. I think about them all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll get into those, what those five R's are. But first, this episode is brought to you by Waste Not, Want Not, wisdom from the good old 1700s, mostly reminding you to not sleep on the friend letter. All the goodies and resources can be found within these emails and gives you all you can imagine and more. Also, don't waste that referral link at the bottom of your emails. It's unique to you. And with every friend that you send it to who signs up using your link, you get free stuff. One referral means you get stickers, just one. Five, you get a tote, and it just keeps increasing to get things like a mug, a t-shirt, a sweatshirt. Waste not the friend letter or the referral link and want for only more Frugal Friends content. Frugalfriendspodcast.com.
Love it. I send those stickers and tote bags out myself, and I try to do it once a month, but typically will wait until somebody has emailed me and say, hey, I got a referral. And then I'll very stickers? Quickly send everything out and say, well, I just sent it out. What are the chances? Wow.
You're showing your cards too much, Jen.
Well, you got to be transparent, especially when you're talking about zero waste living, because it is near impossible to live zero waste, right? So this is not about being perfect. Nothing clearly about us is about being perfect. So we really appreciated this episode and really wanted to talk about zero waste-ish living. So if you are into zero-ish waste living, a couple other episodes you can check out. Episode 298, No Cost Ways to Be More Eco-Friendly. Episode 348, Declutter Your Home in 30 Days. And then a recent episode, 392, Living a Low-Tox Life Frugally with Alex Stewart. Those are some. And we really do believe that being a good steward of your natural resources is a foundational part of frugality. So not only does wasting less save you money, we just think it's an inherently nice thing to do.
Mm-hmm. It can aid in self-sufficiency, our problem-solving skills, learning how to, just engage in all of the five R's. So let's get into it.
So let's get into our first article. And this is straight out of the book that we've been reading for book club in the membership. And if you want to check out the membership, you can check it out at frugalfriendspodcast.com/FFM. Even after April, you'll be able to get access to our zero waste challenge that we did. But so this five R's is from the book we were reading called Zero Waste Home. And we've both really enjoyed that book. What have you thought, Jill?
It's really excellent. I think what you said, Jen, this has been probably the most challenging challenge that we have done yet, in that I really had to shift a lot and it raised a lot of curiosity, a lot of problem solving, a lot of shifting. Whereas a lot of our other challenges are so fruitful, beneficial, helpful. I love them. This, for me particularly, raised some things that I'd never thought about before, where, a no spend challenge is like, great, there's going to be some challenging parts to it, but it didn't cause me to actually think about the way that I live so much as this challenge has. That's just me personally. So I really liked it because I think she answered a lot of questions, both in this article as well as in her book, for what to do with the various waste that we might encounter or how we consume and actually make this a realistic lifestyle and the benefits of it. Some of the benefits that I didn't even think about previously. Mm-hmm. So yes, I really enjoyed it. So you could tell I'm excited to talk about it.
Yes. So the website is unsustainablemagazine.com and the book is Zero Waste Home by Bea Johnson. So you've heard of the three R's. But she takes a little bit further with five R's. So let's get into the first R, which is refuse. So say no to what you don't need. And it's essentially, she's saying, learn how to say no and mean it. And I think if you are a people pleaser or somebody who loves free stuff, which should hit 100% of our listeners on either one of those, this is going to be a really hard one. But she says it's her favorite R because you have to be intentional with everything that comes into your home and intentional about the environmental impact of your actions. So I think this is one of those boundaries things where we have to, frugality is almost a practice in creating boundaries between your family, between your friends, and even the greater world at large. And that's what I really like about this one. This one was very challenging for me right off the bat. So good.
Yeah,
start.
It's amazing. One of those things that she pointed out that I never really thought about is how many things people are trying to give us on a regular basis. Even in a daily, she gave a really simple daily life example of you wake up, you open your door, and there's a flyer for lawn service hanging on the door. So you pull that off. Then, you go to the grocery store and someone's handing you a receipt. Then you go for food and people are handing you straws and takeout stuff that ends up in the trash. Mm-hmm. And then you come home and your mailbox is full of junk mail. And there's just there's so much coming into our life on a daily basis. And this is the first step. And I like how she really describes that it does go in order. So Jen and I are volleying back and forth on what the five R's are, but you do have to start here with refusing and then moving into the rest of the four R's. And then it's kind of like cyclical. But this refusing is really where it starts, is the ability to say no. And of course, that can even include refusing things that people are wanting to give you, that we talk about this a lot, refusing gifts, refusing extra things, which is uncomfortable. But as we train ourselves, we can get better at it. One tip that Bea gives in her book is just simple answers, not needing to give a long dialogue explanation or feeling like you need to really defend yourself, but just practicing the simple things. She, one of her go-tos is, I don't have a trash can. I would be lying if I said that. She's not lying. But, you know, that was just like a simple thing. Or, you know, we are really simple in our household. We don't have a place for this. Whatever it is, but just a simple explanation. So there's so much more to be said on that, but we're going to move on to the second R, which is reduce. And this is partially that learning to let go. Once we've refused, we also then want to move into reducing how much we have, how much we take in is both in that reduction process. This one's quite interesting to me because this is a clearing out. Like, to me, this is a wasting, but I think with this R, we're being really specific about if there's things we don't want in our home, we're not simply sending them to the landfill. We're going to find another home for them. So this is if you've got extra things in your pantry or your closet or your toy bin that you're not utilizing, we are giving it away. So I see this reduce as part pairing with minimalism, where we kind of go through this process, what don't we need? But then I think the idea with reduction is we then don't bring in more. So it's almost like there's this big process that we go through, but then after that, we learn what we actually need, what we actually utilize, so we're not bringing in more. So it makes the refusal even easier as we move forward.
Yeah, and I think this right here is like frugality in a nutshell. Like, this one R, like, reduce your consumption, reduce your spending. Don't eliminate. We're not eliminating. We're reducing down to what's best for us, what's best for the environment, and finding the balance within that. And so this has always been my true north when figuring out what's frugal and what's not, is like, not what can I get the best deal on? Do I get it for free? Like, stuff like that. But is it a reduction of everything? All of the clutter and the noise that the world continuously brings into my life, does it somehow reduce that? Like, and I know that's kind of like bigger picture than just zero waste, but I just have always been obsessed with like the three R's. And so to find out that the book was like kind of based around five R's, I was like, okay, I didn't know this when I started reading. But yeah, so I really believe that, and we've said it before, you can't buy your way to green. And so the first one is super challenging, like refusing things that are free, I have a hard time with. And I'm definitely going to give this episode to Travis because he has an even harder time with that. But this one I love and embrace so wholeheartedly. But yeah, so like, this one is, I have nothing more to say. This is great. But it also says, like, the life you had before you were refusing, all the things you accumulated, those are things you're going to have to reduce. So like, all of the tiny little shampoo and body wash bottles that you get from the hotels or the Airbnbs, those have to go. And I have quite a few of them, but use them first. That's where I like the zero waste, like, is kind of hard for me, because and the minimalism too. Like, I have a junk drawer because I'm not just going to get rid of things that I will use Like, I know I will use body wash and shampoo. I just haven't yet. So that's why there's this, like, it's not either or. It's just finding the synergy of all of it.
Well, there is a tough tension because I think that some zero wasters, if I can put a title to it, some zero wasters will go the direction of just keeping everything to keep it out of a landfill. That can be a picture in our mind of people who go zero waste. At one end of the spectrum is we utilize everything. If it's a paper plate, we're not throwing it away. We're going to somehow figure out how to wash and dry that paper plate and keep using it. And we're going to have containers everywhere, cluttering everything. And so I think what we're advocating for and this article is advocating for is the pairing of zero waste with a minimalist lifestyle. So you have less, you're bringing less into the home. You're not just maintaining your lifestyle and yet not throwing anything away, because that's what moves towards hoarding. And that's not a lifestyle that we want to advocate for, just for mental and emotional and physical health. Mm-hmm. So there is a tension there, because as you begin this, there is going to be certainly a startup cost and a waste startup, if that's a word. Like, there is going to be a lot that you're getting rid of in this process. But then the hope is that that's not the lifestyle that you keep living, of bringing in a ton of stuff that just needs to find its way to the landfill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's move on from refuse and reduce to reuse. And this is maybe the one that I have the second hardest time with. I do love reusable water bottles, reusable cloth napkins. There are some things that I do use a lot of reusables. And then there's just some that I, like, I am not the person that has the cabinets full of old glass jars from foods. And that's kind of the minimalist in me, because I have what I have and I will recycle the rest. But so I was challenged in that, instead of just getting single use plastic, to get more things that come in glass, because glass is much easier to recycle than plastics, because not all plastics are recyclable. I keep learning that. Like, and not one plastic that's recyclable here isn't recyclable there, but the glass is. And so that was one thing with the reuse that I have been inspired to do. But there are a few other things. So, like, she gives some examples. So paper tissues can be replaced with handkerchiefs. You can get straight edge razors instead of disposable razors, cotton cloths instead of dish sponges, loose tea instead of tea bags. I actually did not buy coffee filters for my coffee maker. I just reused a reusable. It already had a reusable filter in there. I just kept a filter on it because it didn't like the residue at the bottom. And then I was like, Jen, you're a grown up. Get over it. So there have been some things that I've been challenged to, like, do more of. And I think that's great. We do things in steps and stages, and we continually take in knowledge and surround ourselves with people that challenge us to just be a little bit better every year.
Yeah, I love this list. This list is an excellent place to start. And there's so many things that I see on here that I can shift in my own lifestyle.
What's one thing that you're going to shift?
Okay, that I will shift?
Yeah. I'm putting you on the spot, Jill.
I know. Yeah, I'm looking at it. So the paper and plastic bags, I definitely bring my own bags to, like, Aldi or Trader Joe's, because they force you to do that. But let's say I shop at Walmart or anywhere else, I don't. And I just didn't ever think about it. Like, I think, oh, well, they have bags, but here's a store that they don't have bags. So done. Now, anytime mm-hmm. I go into any store, I have my reusable bags in my car. Like, they're already there for those other grocery stores. I'm going to start utilizing that. Now, here's my one barrier, because we're going on a side tangent now, apparently, is that I will use those bags, the plastic ones from Walmart or Home Depot, for trash bags in my bathroom. But then that's what brings up that whole other issue of, what if I stop making as much trash. But I think like it's not real. I'm going to make trash. I'm not. I know that I'm not going to be the person who ends up with their annual trash in a mason jar. But then I would have to figure out an alternative trash bag for my bathroom.
Well, I think also there's always going to be people trying to get rid of their plastic bags. So if you are ever in a pinch where you need plastic bags, like grocery bags for your bathroom, you can just go on the Buy Nothing group and say, I'll take these off your hands. Or you go to the grocery store and they have recycling bins for those bags because they're not recyclable in regular recycling bins. Yeah. And you just stick your hand in there and pull some out.
And I'm at least reusing it, giving the life of the thing a little bit longer, more uses, which I think is also a part of that reuse. Sometimes it does end up getting thrown out, but how much more life can we get out of any kind of product also helps.
Yeah. And you, Jill, you're the one that like taught me about like always think of the third option. There's always a third option. There's the yes and the no, and those are usually very obvious. But if you sit down and just think about it a little bit longer, there's always a third option. And sometimes there's, you know, 4 or 8 options, but you just have to think about it a little long. And that's the same with what we say about frugality. It's not inconvenient. It's just not the most convenient. You just sit down, think about it for a few minutes or a few days and find what the third option is.
I think that is what's so challenging about this, but I like it. I enjoy the creativity, the problem solving, the curiosity that this challenge has created of, okay, I could do this. Then what's the ripple effect of that? How can I solve for that? What might else need to change and shift? Where could I make more shifts? And it's been this like really rich challenge.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to the fourth R. The fourth R is recycle. And we only get to the fourth R once we've made it through the other three. So recycling is for the things that we can't refuse, reduce, or reuse. And I love how Bea highlights this. She shares how often people are aware of her zero waste lifestyle and they're like, oh yeah, me too. I recycle everything. And she's like, that's totally not it. I mean, like she's excited for them with like where they're at in their process and journey, but we don't want to stop there. It's not just, oh great, we recycle, because there's so much to be said about the recycling industry and how much has not been solved for, how unaware we are as a society of how to recycle well. There's a lack of businesses, corporations, companies who are utilizing recycled material. There's a lack of consumers buying recycled material. Like once it has been recycled into something new, we have a problem with not actually purchasing those recycled items. We're still buying the single-use items. So it's not as if we can just put our recycling out by the road and be like, pat ourselves on the back, done deal. I did my due diligence. No, there's so much more that goes into it, which is really disheartening for me because I was in that camp of, yeah, I recycle. I'm doing such a good thing. And then there's this whole myth around recycling. So we only do this once we've exhausted the first three R's.
And
then we need to do our due diligence in doing it well. What can be recycled? Make sure our recyclables are cleaned out, making sure that we're not recycling a ton of stuff. Because again, we don't have a system that can actually support the way that we're doing recycling right now.
Yeah. And if you are not recycling and this is where you need to start, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. You know, whatever you have in your refrigerator right now that you can recycle when you're done using it, start with that. And then start to refuse and reduce and reuse. Whatever you can start with today is good enough. But yeah, there are so many people that just sit on that and be like, oh, I did the one thing. I did eco-sustainability. And it's really, recycling is much more confusing. It actually makes me angry every time I go to recycle something because I'm like, I either have to do a lot to get it to be recyclable, or I just don't, and I just put it in and I'm like, I don't really know. And then I end up, I don't want to contaminate the recycling, so I throw it away. Like,
uncertainty,
so frustrating.
Is a common experience, yeah, for me when I recycle. Like, yeah, anytime I go to my recycling bin, it is paired with a feeling of uncertainty. And that's not, yeah, the greatest.
Right. Which is why I think reducing is, again, the key. Like, reduce what you buy and you reduce what you recycle. And if you can rethink, like, when I'm now purchasing, instead of, my next move is like, so I switched to like mayonnaise only in glass jars. And so now I'm just going to move my condiments. Like, when I rebuy, I'm going to try to do everything in glass, because I know glass, like clear glass, definitely recyclable. And just things that I don't have to be so confused about. Like,
but the paper around the glass might not be. I think true recycling is you have to pull it off. You've got to clean it really well, get the glue, yeah, as much as possible. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I can do that enough. But yeah. So recycling is not what we want to rest on. It's definitely the reducing and reusing as much as possible. And that takes us to our last R, which I like, and Jill very much likes, but it's rot. And that is composting.
Rot it.
Yeah. So Jill actually likes it because she does use the compost. It just makes me feel better about not wasting. I don't do anything with the compost, but it is a way to use your food scraps. And I actually learned you can use a lot more in compost, depending on the type of compost you have. You can use a lot more, put a lot more in there than I thought you could.
Yes. Drier
it's actually
lint.
Very forgiving. Yeah.
Drier lint,
dust,
cardboard.
Dust mites.
Yeah. I had
like,
no idea
she's
until
even
I
putting,
started
like,
doing it.
Food, like animal waste. I guess she has like a special compost. I don't know if it's special, but yeah, she is not a vegan by any means. Like, so she puts her animal waste, not her animal, like pet waste.
When it comes to ensuring your company has top-notch security practices, things can get complicated fast. Vanta automates compliance for ISO 27001 SOC 2 and more, saving you time and money. Unify your security program management and streamline security reviews with AI-powered security questionnaires. Over 7,000 global companies like Atlassian, FlowHealth, and Cora use Vanta to build trust and improve security in real time. Access Vanta's free suite of resources to scale your governance, risk, and compliance program at vanta.com/special. That's vanta.com/special.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways I imagine you haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Margaret Atwood, Questlove, Cate Blanchett, and Oscar Isaac. If that sounds like a varied group of people, it's because it is. I always wanted to make a show where one week we could sit with a politician like Beto O'Rourke, the next an author like Min Jin Lee, or TV titans like Bill Hader and Quinta Brunson. Basically, this is a podcast driven by curiosity and an abundance of research. Conversations where people actually start to sound like people. In recent weeks, I sat with Dan Levy, Ava DuVernay, Benny Safdie, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I hope to see you there.
I'm Stephanie J. Block.
And I'm Mary Lee Fairbanks.
And we host Stages Podcast.
Binge close to 100 episodes.
Hear the inside stories from backstage and behind the scenes as we go beyond the resume and into the heart of creativity and what it really takes to be in the business of show business.
Don't miss our chats with this season's Tony nominees. If you love theater and entertainment, you are going to love Stages Podcast.
Subscribe to Stages Podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts and visit us at stagespodcast.net.
Right.
Not that.
Yeah.
She said, like, even there is like a type you could. Yeah. So it's vast.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got to learn more about that. For me, I've got to, because I know that if you put animal waste into like food scraps, into your compost, that's when you can get pests. So there definitely is a way to go about that in a way where you wouldn't have rats around your garden. That's not my goal.
And if you are not a gardener, if you have a black thumb, then you can create compost and maybe trade it with other people who do have it for their fresh veggies that they have, like when stuff, whatever's in season that they're trying to get rid of. So that's an option if you do not want to grow your own food. That can be a way to kind of use the compost and still get some of the benefits of people who do know how to garden and grow things.
Yeah. That's a great list. We encourage you to try it. But we also want to move into talking about how we can pair frugal tips with zero waste.
So we are talking about frugal zero waste. So this next article we're getting into is 7 easy frugal tips that are also sustainable. So this is from rainbowvegansrock.com. I very much like that URL.
Rainbow Vegans Rock. Here we go. Mm-hmm. So the first tip on here is to buy secondhand. And you all know this. This list, if you've been listening to Frugal Friends for a long time, nothing on this list is going to be new to you. But we're looking at it from the perspective of sustainability and zero waste, or at least reducing waste. I mean, even Bea in her book describes that zero waste is nearly impossible in the culture that we live in. But we're aiming at it. It's something to aim at. And so when we buy secondhand, this continues to keep things out of the landfill. It allows us to reuse and almost kind of recycle or upcycle things. Of course, we still want to be aiming at reduction in this process. We don't want to go buy secondhand just because it's a deal and be bringing more things into our house that we may not need and might find its way to the trash can quicker. But when we do need something, this is the first place we should be going to, whether it's an actual physical thrift store or it's Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace or eBay. These are the spots that we should be going to find the items that we need, again, to take from somebody else who's not going to be using it anymore, to put that thing to use, to keep them from throwing it away. And this is also a solution for us, not just in buying secondhand, but when we don't need something anymore. These are the places we should be going to be donating or selling.
Yeah. And we went thrifting this weekend, Jill.
We did.
We got some. Yeah.
I was looking for things for our Frugal Friends party. Didn't find what I needed, but I did find. Actually, I found this shirt. I needed more.
Oh, I found this shirt.
I needed another. Look at us. We're so excited to wear our new shirts.
Yeah.
I realize I don't have any like professional short sleeve shirts. It's either like a dress that I wear or a lightweight long sleeve or sleeveless, but I only have one other short sleeve shirt. So I got a second one. So now I have 2 professional short sleeve shirts. So you're either going to see that. This or my black one.
Love that. Yeah. And so I don't particularly love thrifting. Like we went to one thrift store and afterwards I was like exhausted. So typically I do most of my thrifting online. We use ThreadUp. We have a promo code for $10 off ThreadUp at frugalfriendspodcast.com/ThreadUp, no A. And then Poshmark, eBay. I love eBay. Their prices are usually cheaper than Poshmark, and it's the same exact things. They post them at both places. And then this one also says Depop or Facebook Marketplace. So there are plenty of places to get secondhand that are not a thrift store too. The second one on this list is bulk buying. And so when Jill and I were originally talking about this, she thought I meant like Sam's Club, Costco bulk buying. And then I was like, I want glass containers for bulk buying. And she didn't know what I was talking about. But this is like at your health food store where you're filling up your own container of shelf stable like products. And so that's something that I'm going to try and move towards and trying to bring, instead of using the plastic bags they give, trying to bring my own glass containers that are uniform in size. I'm just not here for bringing seven different types of jars and getting them all teared and then going to fill them up. I'm here for simplicity. So I might just start with one, maybe brown rice. I think I'm due for a brown rice refill. So, but yeah, I'm very interested to try this and see the price difference. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there, as with some other things like minimalism, eco-friendly, sustainability, zero waste, there is a version of this that could go not super frugal. We can, in anything, mm-hmm. spend a ton of money. Although, if it's within our values and something we really want to aim at, then it can be frugal living. But again, that intentionality with our finances, with our lifestyle. So I think we all have to find what's going to work for us, because going to seven different stores, spending all of the time and energy to make your own laundry detergent, butter, mend clothes, like to do all of the things as if we were living in 1522 might not work for everybody. So there is mm-hmm. definitely a lot of room in here to figure out how does this pair with your version of frugality? And like you said, Jen, just doing a little bit better each day towards the goals that we have stated. I will say this article does highlight bulk buying in your the big box stores like your Costco or your Sam's Club. Now, we've also...
Which is still better.
I guess it reduces waste in the sense that you're not throwing out five tiny bottles. You're throwing out mm-hmm. one slightly larger bottle and you're probably reducing the waste, I don't know, I would guess by 20 to 30%. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not great at numbers, but that'd be my guess. But then you've also got the alternative where sometimes that isn't minimal and it might not be financially sustainable for us to be spending a ton of money on these like larger bulk items. So that's one of those that can kind of go either way. And we'd have to determine what will we buy bulk? How will we buy bulk? Is it worth it to us to be going to all these different stores to do this? So yeah, there's the bulk buying is one that I'm curious about. I'm a little bit on mm-hmm. the fence with.
Because yeah, it does reduce the cost per ounce, but you have to be selective. So instead of getting everything bulk, you choose maybe three things. We choose three things that we buy in bulk. We go to one store. We go to the store that has all of them, or we choose the store that's closest to them, and whatever store, whatever they have, that's what dictates our bulk, because driving around all over also has an environmental impact and it has a time impact, and we're not about that either. So sometimes you do have to let your location and what's available to you dictate what you keep in bulk, and you don't need to get everything in bulk. So like, I'm just going to start with brown rice because I use brown rice every week. And I love that Bea said that she keeps a jar on a rotation of like unique like grains or whatever she wants to try. So she doesn't have like 20 containers with all these different bulk things, which can be expensive. She has her set, and then she has one jar or one container that if there's something interesting that she wants to try, she'll fill it up, and she has to use all of that before she can get something else that she wants to try. So I actually love that too.
Yes, agreed. All right, this next one, which I am all for, where we compare frugality with zero waste, is mending our things. So if something is broken or torn or ripped, we look at mending and fixing. Mending to me kind of seems very fabric clothing specific. I would take it a step further and just say fixing things if something gets broken, rather than throwing it away, tossing it to the side, putting it in a junk drawer, how can we make this thing useful again, work again, serve its purpose again? And picking up a new skill set in this regard. I don't think we have to all become seamstresses, but if there's a hole in our clothing, could we mend it before we go out and buy new and just throw it away? So I'm all about sewing on buttons, patching up our clothes, fixing the things that are broken, which is going to also mean that we buy quality things that's worth fixing, that's going to last mm-hmm. us a long time. That's a whole other part of this. When we do buy,
yeah.
that it's quality. And then we make sure we're going to use it.
Can be fixed. Yeah. And some things are created to not be able to be fixed. Mm-hmm. They're just created cheaply. So that is something we also have to be intentional about buying.
Like the new triple.
The author.
Sorry.
Yeah. The author of this article. Did you hear my story about my Nutribullet? Is that what you were bringing up, Jill?
Everyone has a story about a Nutribullet not working and throwing it out and getting a new one. I went through two or three. I've got other friends who...
Oh, my
gosh. Hope Nutribullet will never sponsor us because I think that they make crap products. At least the one. Oh, the bullet.
I'm
the Nutribullet.
I'm so glad I'm not the only one.
The rubber, melts away and it smells, and there's no... Like, how are you going to fix the rubber that melts away?
You can't. I tried. Yep. Wow. Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one. Listen, if you work for Nutribullet, okay, just let them know. But this author of this article talks about trying to return a dehumidifier that didn't work and to the manufacturer. Instead, and her husband was like, are you returning that to be fixed? And she didn't even realize that that's what she would be doing. She just thought she was going to get a new dehumidifier. And she's like, well, I could just try to repair it myself. And I don't necessarily recommend trying to repair something that might be like defunct or just a lemon, but definitely anything that maybe could do a repair. Just try and YouTube it. We had a listener who she was listening to us and then she said that her oven went out or something. And she's like, you know what? I'm just going to watch YouTube, or maybe it was her husband or something, I don't remember, but they watched YouTube and it ended up being like a $15-$30 fix.
Wow.
Like, to fix. And it's not something, like, if you realize that you're in over your head once you watch the YouTube video, go get it fixed.
Yeah.
But if you don't try, you'll never know if it's the easy fix or the hard fix.
Yeah. I will say we've also gotten really great deals on things that we've been willing to fix that other people are getting rid of. So for instance, mm-hmm. we've been wanting this really high-end in-wall microwave oven combination for the kitchen that we're renovating at our house. It's very expensive. It's like $4,000 to $5,000 new. And we're like, we're never doing that. Well, one popped up on Facebook Marketplace, broken for a fraction of that cost. And we snagged it and Eric is fixing it. And we're going to keep that out of the landfill because the manufacturer eventually told this person, like, we're just replacing it. So do what you want with it. Like, meaning just like go ahead and throw it out, this massive appliance. And so good on them that they decided not to just throw it away and find a new home for it. And then if you do have some of those problem solving ability to fix things, now we'll be able to give it a new life. We got a great deal and it's going to make our kitchen look amazing. So win, 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 when you mend and fix.
Yeah. Or if you're not handy like that and you have a friend that is, you can see if they will like do it for money. Some people like to just toy around with those things or be helpful mm-hmm. and be like, hey, like I have this. If I got this for free or whatever, would you fix it? I'll pay you. And that could be a thing too.
Mm-hmm.
So many options. There's always a third option.
So many.
Yes. The next one is probably one of our favorites, if not our ultimate favorite. It is mindful purchases. And that's kind of what we're all about. Intentional spending, conscious consumerism, mindful purchases, whatever you want to call it. But realizing what your values are, and then making sure your all of your spending, not just your discretionary, but like your mandatory, quote unquote, spending as well, is aligned with those values. And I think the hardest part in that equation isn't making the mindful purchases. It's actually figuring out what your core values are, because we are our core values are so often influenced by media, friends, family, coworkers, jobs, whatever. It's very hard to figure out what do I actually want to have in my life? What do I want to live in? What do I want to acquire, have, not have? It's hard to figure that out. And that's what you need to do in order to be able to make mindful purchases. And that on the flip side with also being aware of the impact behind the things you are consuming. So the journey that it took to get wherever you are. So this is some, I mean, we're
mindful purchases is not just a tip on some article. It is the foundation of frugality. I think that's, that is when someone asks us to define frugality, it is some version of mindful spending than being intentional with your resources. That's it. So done.
Yeah, if my mic was not on a stand, I'd drop it right now.
Yeah, well, you could throw it on the ground if you want, just to prove your point.
No, I love my mic. I'll just leave it here.
So the article also mentions as a tip in this space, free activities. It might seem at first like it doesn't fit, but as we engage in free activities, generally we're not engaging in purchasing things, collecting things, gathering things. And so there can be a pairing of engaging in fun, free things that mean zero waste. So when we enjoy time on the weekend with friends, with family, in things that are free, and we also are able to implement the refuse, reduce, reuse mentality, then this is a helpful kind of frugal, zero waste pairing.
Mm-hmm. And the last one on this list, reusing containers. So definitely if you want to do this, get your glass jars or look at your thrift stores. I am still in the market for some more glass containers that look aesthetically pleasing. I have open shelving and I care about that stuff. So, but there are some pretty good looking glass containers that food comes in. So be on the lookout for that. And if you have any suggestions, DM us on Instagram and let us know what we should be, what food we should be consuming to get those cool glass jars.
Yeah, that or, finding them secondhand. Definitely will not be buying them used. And I like the tips that they give for how we can reuse some containers. One of my go-tos for glass jars is to hold on to some of them. Again, this is where it bumps up against my minimalism. I don't want to have an entire cabinet dedicated to empty glass jars. But if I give flowers as a gift to somebody, or sometimes I'll make like an antipasta or an appetizer of some sort, and it's an easy way to give it to people and not require them to be giving back the container. So I'll kind of keep some things around so that I can gift things to people and not have to purchase containers for it or be putting the pressure on them to get my container back to me.
Absolutely. But you know what? There's never any pressure to give back to the people.
always does give, never hardly receives.
This is zero waste for sure.
The bill of the week.
That's right. It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, Buffalo bills, Bill Clinton. This is the Bill of the Week.
Hi, Jen and Jill. My name is Amy. I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And my Bill of the Week is my dad, William, but known to everyone else as Bill. My dad was a minimalistic, frugal, simple living, non-materialistic person before it was cool. He's content with living a simple life. And so when my brothers and I try to pick his brain for potential birthday or Christmas gifts, his response is usually, I could use a new fish filter for his aquarium. And they cost like $10. So I just want to say cheers to my dad, who keeps things simple, but frustrates those of us who want to buy him presents because he does not care for material things. Thanks, ladies. Keep up the good work. Love the show.
Oh, Amy Marie, I am in love with your dad, Bill. He sounds like the best.
Bill sounds so great. Bill, thank you for paving the way for your family in this minimalism, contentment, simple living that doesn't require much, but you also just sound like an amazing person with rich relationship with those around you, which I think is what this can lead to. Like, it can be a byproduct. This minimalism, simple living can lead to contentment, which leads to, it can better relationships with people and just time enjoyed together. And how amazing, Amy, to hear how much you enjoy and admire your dad in this. Well done. And thanks, Bill. That. What a great Bill.
If you want to submit your Bill of the Week, visit frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill to leave us your dad Bill, your duck Bill, your man Bill, any Bill.
Hi there. I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine, and I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. On Purpose's mission is to create impactful conversations to help you become happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating. You'll be laughing, crying, and have so many impactful takeaways after this interview.
I had this, like, you know, homie loving friend for a long time. He's very disrespectful to me, very kind of messed up to me. But in my mind, we could get married. We had the most beautiful babies. He handsome. I'm pretty. Like, it would be so cool. He's smart and intellectual. I'm kind of smart, I think. Like, it would be fun. We have the best conversations. Like, we have fun, but then he would treat me like crap.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways I imagine you haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Margaret Atwood, Questlove, Cate Blanchett, and Oscar Isaac. If that sounds like a varied group of people, it's because it is. I always wanted to make a show where one week we could sit with a politician like Beto O'Rourke, the next an author like Min Jin Lee, or TV titans like Bill Hader and Quinta Brunson. Basically, this is a podcast driven by curiosity and an abundance of research. Conversations where people actually start to sound like people. In recent weeks, I sat with Dan Levy, Ava DuVernay, Benny Safdie, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I hope to see you there.
And now it's time for the lightning round.
This is the part of the show where our podcast manager Goldie asks us a question to get us vulnerable. I no longer make up the questions because Jill feels attacked when I
like, you know too much.
Typically for yeah. So now Goldie does it. And now it's fun because I don't see the question until right before it comes. So this week's question, what are your compromise items? So like not zero waste, but still eco-friendly.
Go for it, Jen. Jill, what is it?
Yeah, you kind of took mine. So can you go first okay. So that I can think of another one?
I don't know if this is eco-friendly, but toilet paper. I can't give that up. That's my no compromise yep. item. I don't know that there's ever going to be a time when I say no to toilet paper. Mm-hmm. However, well, hold on. As I'm thinking out loud and that problem-solving creative juices are flowing.
What's the third way, Jill?
The third way is a bidet. Ooh, and it rhymes too.
The third way is the bidet. That's a lot. That's a big transition.
People who have them love them. Way. Those.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Who have a bidet love their third way.
I am squirming thinking about it. What is my compromise? Yeah, no, I'll never give up toilet paper. Okay. So this isn't zero waste, I guess. But I have to have a certain hair care product, like shampoo and conditioner. I have heard all of the ideas and the shampoo bars and the all of the apple cider vinegar. I've heard all of the ideas, but if you had my hair, which is very curly and very thin, you would know that I am fighting a battle, and I can't go zero waste.
If I had your hair, I think I'd be 10% happier.
I mean,
but you know what? The gift to me is that I get to look at it.
Yeah. And my son has the same hair, and everyone's always trying to touch it and complimenting it. And I feel complimented by proxy because nobody does that to me.
Such a cutie. I'm an adult,
but yeah. But so I think I do always recycle the plastic containers that they come in. And I think next time I will see if I can buy a larger size than what I currently have. I think those are my alternate. And okay, so also I only shampoo my hair once a week.
There you go.
All the other times I will condition it. And I only condition it maybe like two or three times a week. All the other times I just like wet it because I do work out most mornings. And sometimes I'll just either not wash it or just wet it. So that's a zero waste thing that I do. But I gotta have the right hair care. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and rest assured, this is not the only area where our lives need improvement. There's so many other shifts and changes we can be making. But I think, mm-hmm. like we said at the beginning, we'll say at the end, it is about making small adjustments as we go and as we can see the low-hanging fruit of what needs to shift. Like, I got stressed yesterday about the junk mail that's coming. It's like, well, this shouldn't be my first step if I'm also still using paper towels. I shouldn't be hunting down mm-hmm. and spending a ton of time making sure the local Catholic church doesn't send me like flyers all the time. It should be, what am I doing in my own personal life currently?
Yeah.
That could be a drastic shift, more drastic than the flyers that come to my door.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think refuse is the hardest thing for us, especially Travis. Travis still refuses to refuse. It's been 2 years that we've been talking about this, and he refuses to refuse. And so he's maybe taking it still too close to heart. And yeah. So, but I have gotten a lot better at not allowing some things to come into my home. And then just kind of like reusing.
as much as possible.
Yeah. On any given day, my refusal might be stronger than another day.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody just gave me free koozies, you know, to wrap around a drink. And I should have said no to them. But I just accepted and my willpower was low.
Yeah, I never use koozies.
Yeah.
I don't drink
beer. I do
beer.
At the beach. Just okay. For any kind of drink. Like, yeah, they're just helpful.
Yeah.
At the beach.
I don't go to the beach.
So we do use them. We just didn't need two more.
Yeah. Yeah. But I was holding on to like six from Jess and Joseph's wedding.
Yes.
Because I had two in each color.
Uh-huh.
And I finally whittled it down to one.
To one.
In my favorite color.
Just for you. No one else gets a koozie in the house. Jen.
Just me.
Well, and I am continuing to use regular toilet paper. We're not on the reusing.
No.
In that either.
Please. No. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for listening. If this is your second time through listening to this episode, thanks for listening again. But we know most of you will not have heard this. So that's why we do these kind of best of replays. And we're just appreciative that you're here. And yeah, we love reading your kind reviews when you like an episode, especially this one from BreeBen0101, Back by On Track.
I know, I keep trying to read it different ways.
I initially read it Baby Got Back.
I did too. But thanks, Brie Ben, for your Baby Got Back 5-star review.
But the real review is, thank you, ladies, for giving me the strength to get back on track this year. Well, Brie Ben 0101, Baby Got Back on Track. Yes. We're so glad to play a small part in your journey. So thank you, and to anybody listening, please leave a review with the title Baby Got Back.
Yes. We'll take any 5-star review,
absolutely.
Really. And we still have that goal to reach 1,000 reviews and then more. Don't stop. If you see we have 1,000 reviews, don't stop. Keep going. But also sign up for the friend letter. We love giving you all of our tips and tricks for saving, spending better, buying affordable quality so that you don't have to be wasting so much.
Yes.
That's kind of a new series we're doing on like clothing, sheets, pots and pans. What are the best affordable quality?
And
buy?
We just recently did one on vacuums. Ooh, and that one was in February. And that one was very great. So
fire.
Yeah.
Baby got back. Was that Baby Got Back?
Baby Got Back. Thanks for listening. Love you. See you next time. Frugal Friends is produced by Eric Sirianni.
Sometimes you do make me laugh, like like legit, and I can't help the fact that, yeah, we're still recording, but I'm laughing.
We came in this morning, I'm just going to give you all more transparency. We came in this morning and neither of us were having a good day. We hadn't had a good 3 previous days.
Or year thus far.
Yeah, I mean, life's been rough. I mean, it's been rough, but
I think it's only going to get worse.
Wow. This is where we're at. It's just sometimes you're in these seasons and they are not great.
Yeah.
They are not great.
But you know what we're trying on just for size, just to see if we can like mindset trick ourselves, because it is kind of what we preach. We don't preach trickery, but just saying, you know what? It's a great day, because we'll probably look back on this day at some other day in the future that is really, really rough, potentially more rough than this, and think, that was a great day. We thought we had it bad then. Mm-hmm. Look at us now.
Yeah. We're not negating how sucky this season is right now, but like knowing that there are harder days ahead eventually at some point.
Yeah. Hopefully better days ahead too. They'll both be in our future.
God help us. Hopefully. And, you know, we just got to hold the tension between both kinds of days. Yeah. And then we can sit here and laugh with each other and
call it a great day.
And call it a great day.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.